Good evening. If you would turn with me to 2 Samuel chapter 11. 2 Samuel chapter 11. Appreciate the opportunity to stand here and preach this evening. 2 Samuel chapter 11, we'll begin reading in verse number 26. It says, "And when the wife of Uriah heard that Uriah, her husband, was dead, she mourned for her husband. And when the mourning was past, David sent and fetched her to his house, and she became his wife and bare him a son. But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. And the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him and said unto him, There were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor." Father, we thank you for this day, and thank you for the time to look into your word. Thank you for everyone who's taken the time to come out this evening. I pray you'd bless them, be with those that are traveling, those that are sick that couldn't be here. And I pray you teach us your word this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor asked me to preach and wanted me to continue on the topic of prayer. And I think that the topic of prayer is something that we can all always continually be growing in our prayer lives. And they can always be, you know, improved upon. And I was just studying some different passages to and praying about what the Lord would have me to say or preach. And I came across this passage here. And if you look down in chapter 12 and verse number 14, verse number 13, it says, "And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, The Lord also hath put away thy sin, thou shalt not die. Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. And Nathan departed unto his house, and the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bare unto David, and it was very sick. David therefore besought God for the child, and David fasted and went in and lay all night upon the earth. And the elders of his house arose and went to him to raise him up from the earth, but he would not, neither did he eat bread with them. And it came to pass on the seventh day that the child died. And the servants of the Lord feared to tell him that the child was dead, for they said, Behold, while the child was yet alive, we spake unto him, and he would not hearken unto our voice. How will he then vex himself if we tell him that the child is dead? But when David saw that his servants whispered, David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore David said unto his servants, Is the child dead? And they said, he is dead. Then David arose from the earth and washed and anointed himself and changed his apparel and came into the house of the Lord and worshipped. Then he came to his own house, and when he required, they set bread before him and he did eat. Then said his servants unto him, What thing is this that thou hast done? Thou didst fast and weep for the child while it was alive, but when the child was dead, thou didst rise and eat bread. And he said, While the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept, for I said, Who can tell whether God will be gracious to me that the child may live? But now he is dead, wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. And so we see here, and these events have transpired pretty fast here in David's life. In chapter 11, it's when he sinned against the Lord and committing adultery and murder. And, you know, David was at a very dark place in his life here. And we began reading in chapter 11, verse 26, where all this had taken place. And the end of verse 27 says, But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. And, you know, it seems that David has become very distant from God in this time here. He sinned greatly. Some of the most terrible sins a person can commit, he's committed, and it seems very dark and very distant from God. But I love how in chapter 12 it says, in chapter 11, verse 27 says, But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord, right into chapter 12, and it says, And the Lord sent Nathan unto David. God didn't waste any time pursuing David, and I love that about the Lord, you know. And in times when we are maybe far from the Lord, maybe we've messed up, maybe we've sinned, maybe we've gotten distant from the Lord, he's right there pursuing us to restore that relationship. And, you know, a lot of times we may have a hard time going to God because we don't think, you know, he's going to want to accept us again. He's going to want to receive us back to himself as far as restore that fellowship, but he wants it more than we do. And we see that there, that, you know, as soon as, you know, David had committed that, the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he was sending him to him to show him that he had sinned and to restore that fellowship. And that's just how the Lord is, you know. Sometimes we have this bad view of God, that he's just wanting to punish us, and no doubt He had to suffer consequences for his sin, but God wanted that fellowship back. He wanted David to be right with him. And so we come here to chapter 12, and Nathan tells him what's going to happen and how he sinned against the Lord. And then we see in verse number 16, it says, David therefore besought God for the child. And here's where we come to David's prayer. And excuse me. And it doesn't record what David said. It just says, and David therefore besought God for the child. And I want to just point out a few things out of this passage, and it's going to be really simple and short. So just bear with me and follow along. I see, first of all, that David's prayer was David's first choice of action. Nathan had told him what's going to happen. He told him, in verse number 14, he said, the child that is born unto thee shall surely die. And for whatever reason, David continued to seek God. And it says in verse 18, and it came to pass on the seventh day that the child died. So for 7 days, David is pouring out his heart to God. He's seeking God for the child's life. And that was his first choice, was to seek God about it and was to pray about it and to get alone with God. In Psalm 62 in verse 8, it says this. Psalm 62:8, trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us, Selah. And the first thing we need to do in our lives when we're faced with troubles and trials is to run to Jesus and to pour our hearts out to him. A lot of times we go to our friends, we go to our family, we go to everyone else, and we want to, pour our hearts out to them, and that's fine and everything. But we got to make sure that we go to God first, and we trust him, and we say, we spend that alone time with God. And he is our hiding place. And that's what David, he was running to God for a refuge, and he was pouring out his heart to God for those 7 days. And in Psalm 32 in verse 7, it says, thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance, Selah. The psalmist said, thou art my hiding place. You're going to preserve me from trouble. And that's what David was doing. He was running to God. He was spending that alone time with God. And that's what we desperately need in our lives also, is that alone time with God. In Nehemiah chapter 1 and verse number 4, it says, and it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. He says there, Nehemiah was broken before God. He wept, he mourned, he fasted, he prayed. And it says, before the God of heaven. It was just him and God. He was alone with God. We just need that time to where we run to God and we pour out our hearts before him, as I believe David was doing here in chapter 12. We sing about it. We sing, tell it to Jesus. Are you weary? Are you heavy-hearted? Tell it to Jesus. Are you grieving over joys departed? Tell it to Jesus. We sing, I must tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear these burdens alone. In my distress, he kindly will help me. He ever loves and cares for his own. Tempted and tried, I need a great Savior, one who can help my burdens to bear. I must tell Jesus all my cares and sorrows he will share. Oh, how the world to evil allures me. Oh, how my heart is tempted to sin. I must tell Jesus, and he will help me over the world the victory to win. And so our first choice of action must be prayer. It must be time alone with God. And then secondly, I see prayer is a time to show my trust in God. And I see that here in that Nathan had already told David that the child would die. But David had faith to believe that God could somehow work a miracle and save the child's life. David was not praying in vain. He knew that God could work a miracle. And I believe that he believed that God could work a miracle. He believed in what he was praying for. And prayer, is a time to show forth faith. In Matthew chapter 21 and verse number 21, it says, Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things, whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. you know, we will never please God without faith. And in our prayers, we must have prayers of faith. And Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 6, very familiar verse, it says this, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Our prayers must be prayers of faith. We must believe in what we are asking God for. You know, we cannot just throw up vain reputations and vain words, thinking that we're going to get anywhere with that. We must have strong faith, believing what we're praying for and asking God for. Too often our prayers are filled with worry and fear when they should be filled with faith. You know, a lot of times we come to God with worry and fear. And Paul said in Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. He starts off by saying, be careful for nothing. That's your worry. That's your fears. He says, don't be careful for anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication. You've got to remove that worry and that fear and then have a prayer of faith. In James chapter 5, it says this in verse number 15, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. And here it's talking about Elijah in the Old Testament, how that he prayed that it wouldn't rain, and it didn't rain for 3.5 years. And it's interesting, it says he was a man subject to like passions as we are. You know, he was just a common man. There was nothing special about him. But he had a walk with God. And he believed and had strong faith in praying that if he would pray that it wouldn't rain, that it wouldn't rain. And it didn't for 3.5 years. And I think that it would have taken probably more faith to come back after 3.5 years to say, okay, now, God, I need it to rain. You know, and he prayed again, it says, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. But he had strong faith. Our prayers must be of faith, not of fear and worry. And I know that a lot of us are people of worry and fear. You know, it's easy to look around at the world and not know what's going to take place with this or that, and not just since the coronavirus, but you know. But just situations in life, we don't know. We fear the unknown and the uncertain. But God wants us to trust Him, and especially when we're praying, we must have strong faith. Then thirdly, prayer draws me close to God. I want you to look in back in 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 18. I say this: prayer draws us close to God, because it says in verse 18, and it came to pass on the seventh day that the child died. So David just spent 7 days just with God, just alone with God. And I say that it draws us close to God because David spent those 7 days pouring out his heart to God, begging God for the life of that child. And no doubt that drew him close to God in his relationship. You cannot spend that much time with someone and not get close to them. You know, and I love how that prayer is our way of knowing God, getting to know God better. You know, it's our a way that we can spend time with God and to get to know Him better. And every believer, that should be our heart's desire, is to get to know God better. You know, not just to get saved and walk through life and then be able to go to heaven, but we want to know God here in this life. The Apostle Paul, you know, he talked about that in Philippians, how he wanted to know God. He wanted to understand the sufferings of Christ. He wanted to understand what Jesus went through on the cross, and he wanted to know God better. In Luke chapter 22, in verse number 39, Luke 22 and verse 39, it says, this is when Jesus is getting ready to go to the cross. Excuse me, it says, and he came out and went as he was wont to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven and strengthened him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow, and said unto them, Why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation. And here we see the Lord Jesus just in agonizing in prayer and praying to his Father. He says, you know, if you're willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And we see that when we're in close communion with God, when we're really close to him in that prayer, it turns us from praying for our will to be done, and it turns us to where we're praying for his will to be done. And I think that can only come through that close communion with God, through that time spent with God. And it draws us closer to him. Number four, prayer is seeking the grace of God in our lives. Prayer is seeking the grace of God. If you look back in 2 Samuel chapter 12, in verse number 20, it says, Then David arose from the earth and washed and anointed himself and changed his apparel and came into the house of the Lord and worshipped. Then he came to his own house, and when he required, they set bread before him and he did eat. Then said his servants unto him, What thing is this that thou hast done? Thou didst fast and weep for the child while it was alive, but when the child was dead, thou didst rise and eat bread. And he said, While the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept, for I said, Who can tell whether God will be gracious to me that the child may live? And I say prayer is seeking the grace of God because right here he says, Who can tell whether God will be gracious to me that the child may live? You know, the grace of God is God pouring out acts of kindness on us just because he loves us. You know, and David knew that. David knew that God was a gracious God. He knew that by how he had dealt with him in his sin. He knew he had been very gracious to him. And he knew that from many other experiences in his life that he was dealing with a God who was very gracious. And in his prayer, he was seeking out that grace. And that's what we need to be doing in our prayer lives, is not just asking God for things because we have needs. And obviously, you know, that's a big, you know, reason why we pray, because we want God to work in different situations, and God wants us to come to him for that. But we need to pray seeking the grace of God in our lives and on situations. And 2 Corinthians chapter 12, it says this in verse number 7, the Apostle Paul is speaking, And lest I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. And here we see the Apostle Paul, he's asking the Lord to take away that thorn in the flesh. And it says he asked the Lord three times. And the Lord answered, you know, his answer was, My grace is sufficient for thee. And he said, the Apostle Paul said, Well, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. It is better to have the grace of God and the power of Christ in your life than to live a life of comfort and ease. And the Apostle Paul, he understood that. He was like, Well, you know, I want that God's grace on my life. I want God's power in my life. And the Lord taught him, was teaching him that his strength was made perfect in weakness, and that he could get glory out of Paul's weak life, and that he could show him grace. His grace would be sufficient for him. His grace would get him through this difficult thing that he was dealing with. And Paul wanted that, the power of Christ on his life. He wanted the grace of God in his life. And so prayer is seeking the grace of God. And then back in 2 Samuel chapter 12, I want you to notice lastly here, you know, David was praying for 7 days that this child would live, and we see that the child died, you know. So God didn't answer David's prayer the way he wanted him to answer it. And so when when God said no, David worshiped. I want you to notice that In verse number 20, it says, "Then David arose from the earth and washed and anointed himself and changed his apparel and came into the house of the Lord and worshiped." And that just stands out to me because, you know, here he had spent 7 days with the Lord, just begging God for this child to live. And then God didn't answer it the way he, according to David's will, according to David's desire. And the first thing that David did was to wash himself, and he came into the house of the Lord and worshiped. And that really stands out to me that, you know, when God doesn't answer according to my will, he's just as much worthy of my worship as when he answers the way I want to. You know, sometimes we get this idea that we're entitled to things and that we, you know, God owes us something, but he doesn't owe us anything, you know. And that doesn't, the way God answers prayers shouldn't affect the way we worship him. He's just as worthy whether he does anything for us or not. And Job had that same mindset when he had everything taken away from him. He said, you know, the Lord gave and the Lord took away, you know. He was going to bless the name of the Lord either way. And so that says a lot about David and his walk with God, that he was willing, even spending all that time, he didn't get bitter towards God. He didn't say, you know, well, that was a waste, you know, to spend all that time praying and alone with God. No, he rose up and worshiped God because he knew that God was going to do what's right. And he knew that God was making the right decision by taking that child's life. And no doubt, you know, he probably didn't understand everything at the time, but he knew that God was still worthy to be worshiped. And I think we lose sight of that sometimes where we come and we beg and beg and ask God for things, and then we don't worship. You know, we forget that he's worthy of worship, and he desires us to worship him. And so I just want to remind you in that no matter how God answers your prayer, worship him on a daily basis. Worship him because he's worthy. He's been gracious in your life. He's been so good to you and me. He's given us the opportunity to hear the gospel and to be born again and given us a wonderful life. He's worthy of our worship. Then David arose from the earth and washed and anointed himself and changed his apparel and came into the house of the Lord and worshiped. That would have been hard to do. You know, he would have been very confused, thinking, man, I spent all that time praying that God would save that child. But, you know, he just came and worshiped the Lord. And we need to get back to that, to where we just worship the Lord for who he is, because he's worthy. He's worthy of all our praise and everything we can give back to him. He's worthy of our lives and worthy of our worship. And so I just want to encourage you to not forget to, after you have a time of prayer, have a time of worship. Have a time where you just adore the Lord Jesus Christ and who he is and what he's done for you in your life, and just have a time of thankfulness and a time of worship where you're just before the Lord worshiping him and being grateful for everything that he's done in your life. And let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for